Take your Bible this morning. Let's go, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. I don't know about you, but I love this time of year. Always look forward to this time of year because next Saturday is the state championship football games. And you say, well, I was thinking he was going a different direction. Well, okay. But, man, as far as I'm concerned, football season really ends Saturday, all right? The high school games are played, and it's a tradition. It's a tradition with myself and my son, and for years now we've been going out to those games. And but if both of us didn't have to work for a living, we would go more than just on Saturday. But we both have to work for a living, so we can't do that. But we go on Saturday, and we get to watch three football games for the price of one. And get to pay way too much for something to eat. And anyhow, that's the way it is. And, of course, I do look forward. I do enjoy Christmas season. I like the gaiety and the lights. I love going Christmas caroling. And I do enjoy all of that. But, man, the hustle and the bustle of shopping, I could live without. And I pretty much do. My wife does all of that. For years now, I've always tried to tell my kids, you better be real thankful for your mother, because if it was left up to your dad, you'd get nothing for Christmas, and you would have had nothing all these years. But she shops and does that, so that's a good thing. All right, you're there in Acts chapter 26. I've debated upon how much to read this morning. Let's start at verse 24, all right? Verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Festus said, Paul, you're nuts. But verse 25, but Paul, he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I think it would have been an amazing experience to sit and hear the Apostle Paul preach. When he preached to Felix, back in chapter 24, I think it was, the Bible said Felix trembled. The power of God was such that it caused Felix to tremble. Then we get here in this chapter and we see that his preaching also caused Agrippa to almost be persuaded to be a Christian. Now, unfortunately, neither of them seem to have ever made the move to go any further. As far as we know, the only thing Felix did was tremble. As far as we know, Agrippa was just almost persuaded. Unfortunately, people haven't changed much. So many are like Agrippa. They're almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. I don't know how many people I've had the opportunity to witness to, present the gospel to, that told me, not now. Not now. They weren't ready. They said, I'm not ready. I am just, maybe I need to think about it, or I need to do this or that. But they were, I feel like they were like Agrippa, almost persuaded. Well, I don't want to take my text today from chapter 26, verse 28. I don't want to preach on almost persuaded. Instead, I want to take my text from that next verse, verse 29. I want to take it from Paul's answer to Agrippa's confession. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then Paul said, I would to God that you were both almost and altogether such as I am, except the part of being in jail. All right? He said, I wish you were altogether the way I am. He was saying what he wanted them to be was fully persuaded. In verse 26, Paul said, for I am persuaded. All right? He wanted them to be fully persuaded. Almost never has and never will get the job done. You know, when somebody says, I almost made it, that means they didn't quite get there. Fellow's high jumping and he said, I almost cleared the bar. Well, you didn't, all right? You didn't. So, I almost got through the red light, but that car hit me, all right? So almost, never works. So many folks today are almost persuaded to be a Christian. Many folks are. Then there's, I believe, a host of Christians that are almost persuaded to give it their all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, where do you stand today? Are you fully persuaded or just almost? Fully persuaded. You say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean fully persuaded? I want to give you three things this morning that I believe if you're fully persuaded will be true. First of all, there will be no more doubt. There will be no more doubt. Now hold your place maybe here if you want to in Acts, but go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Fully persuaded means there is no more doubt. 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look down, if you will, in verse 12. The Apostle Paul here is writing, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, no more doubts. Though if you're fully persuaded, there'll be no more doubts about salvation. No more doubts about salvation. I'm able to say, I did what the Bible said to be saved. If I come to you this morning, I tell you for sure, I know that I've been born again. It's not because I heard another person tell me, you're all right. I'm not trusting the voice of another man, his opinion. I'm not trusting any church's declaration about that fact. I'm not sure I'm saved because I'm a part of a Baptist church. I'm not trusting the fact that I've been dunked in the baptistry. Of course, I wasn't. I was dunked in Caloosahatchee River down in Florida. I was baptized there, right? But I'm not trusting that to get me to heaven. Not trusting that at all. Hey, I'm not trusting some feeling. I don't know how you are. I wake up different feelings. Sometimes I feel good, sometimes not so good. Man, this morning my knee was throbbing. I don't know what it was. It was just throbbing. And after I got ready and dressed, I pulled out an ice pack, sat down in the recliner, put the ice pack on it a little bit. He said, how's it feeling? Well, it's not throbbing, thank the Lord, all right? But hey, those are feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. I'm not saved because I have a feeling. I'm not sure of my salvation. Now, that does not mean I don't feel anything. I do. But I'm not saved because I have a feeling, all right? Hey, I know I'm saved because I'm trusting in the precious blood of the crucified one. Back yonder years ago, I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I said, Lord, I want you to save me. I want to be your child. I did what the Bible said to do. That's why I'm saved. If you ever doubt if you're saved, or maybe you think you're saved, and you doubt it, you say, well, what should I do? See if you have done what the Bible said. Check the Bible. Check out the Bible. Don't check out what, don't go to somebody else and say, what do you think? See what the Bible says. It's what the Word of God says. Hey, there's no more doubt about that. I'll tell you this, if you're fully persuaded, you have no doubts that God wants you to serve Him. You have no doubts God wants you to serve Him. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be full-time. Now, it might be full-time service, but and by that I mean, you know, either the missionary or a preacher or evangelist or one of those things that's full-time in the Lord's work. It may not be that, but you ought to have that full assurance that God wants you to serve Him. It means there's something that He has for you to do and some place in the local church that He wants you to serve. You ought to know that. You ought to have that. If you're fully persuaded, you know, why you say that, preacher? Because you were not saved, as somebody has said, to sit, soak, and sour. You were saved to serve the Lord. Saved to serve the Lord. You ought to have, if you're fully persuaded, you know, there's something God wants me to do. You say, preacher, I can't do everything I used to could. Me either. But it's not what you can't do, it's what you can do. It's not what you can't, it's what you can do. Well, used to, I could. Well, used to doesn't matter. Used to's in the past, okay? I like that old song that says, I used to could jump a picket fence, you know, but now I'm lucky if I jump an inch. Used to could jump just like a deer, but now I need a new landing gear, all right? Hey, I can't do some things I used to could do, but I can still serve the Lord. I can still serve the Lord. There's something you can do. Man, I don't care what it is, if it's greeting folks in the church, you know, and shaking hands with people and helping them find the place they need to get to, whatever it might be, if it's singing in the choir, if it's playing an instrument, you know, whatever it might be, there's somewhere you can serve the Lord. If it's visiting the bus route, if it's riding the bus and refereeing the fight, never mind. We don't have that too much, all right? But, man, if it's riding that, there's just something you can do, teaching Sunday school, helping in a class, helping in children's church, being an usher. Man, there's somewhere you can serve. Then you ought to have that. If you're fully persuaded, there's no more doubts. No more doubts. But secondly, if you're fully persuaded, there's no more desire. He said, now, what? Are you still there in 2 Timothy? Look at verse chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 4. The Bible said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Notice that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That I may please him. That I may please him. He said, preacher, what's your desire? That I may please him. I just want to please the one that's called me to be a soldier. He said, preacher, he didn't call me to be a soldier. Oh, yes, he did. When he saved you, he called you. He called you to be involved in the Lord's army. To be involved. Remember what I said about serving him? No more doubts? No more doubts. Fully persuaded. Well then, hey, there's no more desire. What's my desire? To please him. To please him. That's it. I want to please him with my life. That is, if you want to know what I do, my actions, my habits, my daily routine. Oh, that they might please him. They ought to. That ought to be your desire. Hey, that's my desire. That ought to be your desire. If you're fully persuaded, I want to please him. I want what I do to be pleasing unto him. The words that come out of your mouth, the attitudes that you display in life, ought to be focused. I want to please him. I want to please him. Man, you get angry. Carry on. I've never had a problem with anger. Except right after I was born until today. All right? I know how to get aggravated. But I got to be careful because I want to please him. I want to please him. Hey, can I say this? Our problem in life with too many of God's people, we're too concerned about pleasing other people. What you need to be is be concerned about pleasing him. The things I do, the things I say, things come out of your mouth. Your actions, your attitude, everything, all of it, all right? Did it please him? Hey, I ask you, are you kind or are you rude? Are you proud or are you humble? Are you arrogant? And how are you? How do you live your life? You live your life like everybody else is beneath you? There's a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. You know, oftentimes we accuse very rich people of living that way. But you know, it's got nothing to do with finances. And a lot of people think other people are beneath them. Man, look, our whole life, my actions, if I've got no other desire, please him. I want to please him with my life. But I'll tell you this, now we're going to get on rocky ground this morning. I think I need to please him with my looks. I think I need to please him with my looks. I see a lot of folks today and I wonder, why? Why? Man, do you crave attention that much? You said, Bridget, what are you talking about? I told you, make it rocky. Those tattoos, those piercings, do they really please God? Do they please God? Now, you be careful. You say, Preacher, now I just like, wait a minute. You don't have to convince me, but you need to find out what God says. What does this book say? That's where you need to be concerned. It's not with pleasing men. It's not that at all. It's what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Man, that skin-tight clothing. That skin-tight clothing. Man just hugs you. Almost like my dad said, looks like it's sprayed on, all right? Does that please God? Does that please God? You know, just that's where the concern need to be. You see, if you're fully persuaded, I've got one desire. That desire is to please him. I just ask you, does it please him? Well, it's a style. Oh, that pleases man. That pleases man. It's not about pleasing man, it's about pleasing God. About pleasing him. Low cut on top, too short on the bottom. That funky hairstyle, that weird color you've got it. Well, preacher, I just don't think that's any of your business. I'm just asking if you think that pleases God. I'll be honest with you. If you come next Sunday and half of it's blue, or start to say half of it's blue, half of it's green, half of it's red. But I guess that'd be real hard to have three halves, all right? But if you had it multicolored and it was spiked in every direction, you said, preacher, what we do? I'd shake your hand and say, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you came. But I'm just asking you this morning, if you're fully persuaded, does how you look please God? Like I say, I know it may not be the style, but does it please God? Hey, when you're fully persuaded, you want to please him more than you want to please yourself or society. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. You just, what about? What about? Well, preacher, the Bible says God looks on the heart. And he does. He does. But what's out here is a reflection of your heart. A reflection of your heart. I mean, you can get upset with the preacher, but it's in the book. I'm just preaching you what the Bible says. Hey, no other desire. Why? I'm fully persuaded. I want to please him in my actions. I want to please him with my looks. I'll tell you something else. I want to please him with my longings. My longings. Our dreams. Our plans ought to be made with our Lord in mind. All of it ought to be made with our Lord in mind. I know it may be what you want, but is it what he wants? Is it what he wants? Remember, we're talking about being fully, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, let me just stop right here and take a little side jog for a second. When I preach like this, I know within the heart of some folks, within their mind, they think, got to be miserably fully persuaded. That's obvious. Because I can't do anything I want. See, you've missed it. You've missed it. Totally missed the whole thing, all right? Totally missed that whole thing. Because when you're fully persuaded, you want to please the Lord with your life. Hey, you know what? That's going to make you happy too. You ever seen little kids performing? Whatever they might be doing, singing, or maybe some little, you know, some little doohickey or little, and if their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa's in the audience, they're looking at them. And if they, because they want to see a smile on your face. And if they see that smile on your face, they're thrilled. They're thrilled. I'll tell you this, I look at that, I'm his child. You've been born again, you're his child. You're his child. I want to see a smile on his face. I want to see a smile on his face. I want him to be happy with me. I'll tell you this, I want him to be happy with you. A fully persuaded, fully persuaded. I'm gonna please him. All right. I want to please him with my looks. I want to please him with my longings. I just everything about him. Why? I want to please him. No other desire. No other desire but to please him. No other desire whatsoever. Just please him. No other doubt. No doubts whatsoever. No more doubts. No more desires. And lastly, no more delay. No more delay. And what do you mean by that? Well, let's go over in the Old Testament, all right? I've got this verse written in my Bible, but man, I'm doing good. We might get out of here before noon. Probably won't, but there's always a chance, all right? I want you to go with me in the Old Testament, would you? To the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Samuel. 1 Kings further down in my notes, all right? 1 Samuel, chapter 21. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. Look with me, if you will, in verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me. Here it is, because the king's business required haste. The king's business required haste. Hey, if you're fully persuaded, there will be no more delay. No more delay. I give you an instance in Paul's life. Look in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's on one of his missionary journeys, and he has come across Timothy along the way. But one night in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, he prayed about it, he thought about it, he fasted for 3 days. That's not what it says. If you have your Bible open, you know that it says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So what are you saying? There's no more delay. There is no more delay. No delay in going. Why? Because I know that's what God wants me to do. I'm fully, fully persuaded. I'm going to do what He tells me to do, what He wants me to do. I'm going to give it everything I've got, and I'm not going to delay. I'm not waiting until I retire. I'm not waiting until conditions are better. I'm not waiting until I've studied and I can quote half of the Bible from memory. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting until I know I have the answer to any question anybody might ask. No, I'm going to go. I'm going to be involved. Going to be involved. Hey, fully persuaded. Paul had that vision. That man in Macedonia said, come over and help us. The truth of the matter is, every Christian in here ought to get a vision of every house you see, and somebody lives in that house and needs some help. Now, they may be without the Lord. We ought to get a vision of that and say, well, I don't think I'm quite ready. Well, you'll die not quite ready. But if you'll get fully persuaded, you can get after it. Fully persuaded. And I could give you so many instances from my own life where you say, well, preacher, you're a preacher. It just comes natural. You got to be kidding. You don't really know me. You didn't know the young guy that was me. You didn't know the fellow that was shy and held off. You didn't know that. But I'm fully persuaded now. So I don't mind talking to people. Oh, man, and we live in such a strange day. You know, we can talk to people about everything. You know, we talk about how miserable the Cowboys are doing. We can talk about how good or bad that sports team is doing. We can talk about the economy. We can talk politics. We can talk about everything under the sun, but we can't tell them about our Savior. Why? Because we're not fully persuaded. But if you're fully persuaded, there will be no delay in going. I'll tell you something else. There'll be no delay in deciding. In deciding. 1 Kings chapter 18. Would you turn there with me? 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, there was a day that came for the people of God. It was time for them to make a decision. 1 Kings chapter 18. So the prophet of God, Elijah, came to him and he said, all right, fellas, time to decide. Time to decide. We find in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. There it is. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Hey, if you're fully persuaded, there's no delay in deciding. You make up your mind. You got it settled, okay? Today's the day of salvation, for instance. Today's the day of salvation. You with me? This day, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says that. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you say, when should I get saved? Today. Today. You're to do it. You're not to put it off. You're not to wait. If you're here this morning, there's doubts consuming you, you ought to get the doubt taken care of today. You ought to get the doubt taken care of today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Hey, I got news for you. There's not a one of us that's promised tomorrow. The Bible even says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't have the assurance of tomorrow. If you're fully persuaded, you can get the deciding done in a hurry, all right? You can decide this is the time. Hey, this time to get saved. This is the time to serve God. This time to start serving him. Hey, if you're ever going to do anything for God, the only day you have to serve him is today. Today. We said, well, wait a minute, preacher. I got plans. Good. Good. Most everybody I know has some plans. Have some plans. Brother Tuffy and Miss Ashley, they're in hospital this morning. Their plans a week ago this past Wednesday were not to go to the hospital. But that's where they wound up. Didn't expect that, but it happened. Hey, you've got no assurance there is a tomorrow. This is the day you've got. This is the day you have. You don't have yesterday. It's already gone. It's spent. You've taken it. And you may have wasted it. You may have used it. I don't know. But the only day you have is today. Now, today is the day you ought to get your mind made up, fully persuaded, say, I'm going to start today. Today. If you're fully, fully persuaded, there's no delay in deciding. No delay in deciding. I told you my son and I will go to a football game. We have no allegiance, really, to any of the teams we're going to be watching. None of them are where we went to school. None of them. The last time my high school was in the playoffs, I can't remember that far back. They don't make it. They don't know what it is. They think football season is 10 games at the most and you quit, all right? No reason to go and play any extra ones. There's no allegiance. But something will happen on the field. We'll be sitting there watching and something will happen on the field. And maybe it'll be an amazing throw coupled with an amazing catch. And we will sit there. We'll look at each other. We'll go, should we cheer? What do you think? He said, preacher, nobody does that. You're right. Nobody does that. Man, if we did that and we decided, yes, we'd jump up, yay! By then, everybody in the crowd would be going, they call time out. Why are you cheering? Hey, you're fully persuaded there's no delay. No delay. We'll be there. We'll see a good play. I don't look at him and say, do you think that's good enough to cheer? He doesn't look at me and say, do you think that's good enough to cheer? No, man, we'll cheer. Hey, boy, what a play. Great play. Now, sometimes we get in trouble because we're on the opposite side. We're sitting in the crowd that's for the other team, right? We have problems there, you know, but hey, there's no delay. No delay. Why? Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I ask you right now, Agrippa was almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. As far as we know, Agrippa died and went to hell. As far as we know. Paul was fully persuaded. Paul was fully persuaded. One of these days, you and I, we're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before Him. I will stand before Him. Don't you think it'd be a whole lot better to be standing there fully persuaded than undecided? Don't you think it'd be better if you just go ahead and get all in? And say, I'm in on that. I'm fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. No more doubts. No more doubts. Not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. No more desire but to please Him. Please Him. You said, preacher, do you go through life and the only thing you do every day, every moment of the day, constantly thinking about pleasing Him, pleasing Him, pleasing Him? No, because I've been living this way now for a good long while. So I don't go through my life doing that, but every now and then I do have to stop and think, wait a minute, because what you're fixing to do is not going to be right. Conscience gets a hold. Holy Spirit says, hey, back off. Back off. Hey, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. It's time to make up your mind. Make up your mind. Paul said, man, I wish it wasn't almost, but I wish it was almost and altogether such as I am. Such as I am. Fully persuaded. And this Christian life is not a good life. It is the best life. There's nothing to compare. Could I just say this to you? If there was no God, no heaven, no hell, you'd still be better off living the Christian life. Still be better off living the Christian life. But there is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is. You'll face that God one day. You'll stand before him in judgment. I will too. I'm going to give an account. Hey, I'm going to give an account for you. As a pastor, I'm going to give an account for the people that I pastor. Would you make it a little easier on me, please? Well, if I could just get you fully persuaded. If I could just convince you that, hey, this life is worth living. Not just on Sunday morning, not just within the walls of this building, but all day, every day, 24 hours a day, this is the life. Instead, we've got the idea that the life is hanging in some hammock somewhere between two palm trees, swaying in the breeze. Look, that's not the life. The life is living for Jesus Christ, serving him, fully persuaded. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We're your people. Lord, there's some here that are lost. They don't belong to you because they've never got in the family of God. But Lord, they could today. They could come this morning. They could come and trust you today. They could come put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, today they could come. They could be born again. Lord, there's some Christians here that are living on the fringe of the Christian life. They're not fully persuaded. They've got doubts. Lord, they're not considered. They've got other desires. Lord, maybe they've delayed so much. Lord, the truth of the matter is they're just not overly happy. Lord, if they'd just come, they'd get fully persuaded. Lord, would you deal with hearts today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we invite you to come this morning. If you need to be saved, I invite you to come meet me here at the front and say, Preacher, I need to trust Christ.